Well, we're going teaching again on mountain moving faith. As we've said, and each time when we start, that we're talking about mountain moving faith is just regular faith. That's Jesus talked about it. He didn't make any big deal to the disciples. He just said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you doubt not in your heart, but believe those things you say are going to come to pass, you'll have what you say. That's amazing. I mean, to me, I've always marveled at that, is how sort of nonchalantly he said those things. He just said, you know, have faith in God if you say to this mountain. It's like, you know, people struggle at that so many times with those sayings, and, you know, they believe all kind of different things about it. But, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, Jesus talked to the disciples just as if that would be just as natural for a human to do as anything. And I believe faith is so much easier than it's made out to be. We've talked about it like it's sometimes people talking like some difficult thing. I don't believe that. Because the things that Jesus made statements himself about faith, he never made a big deal. He just made just point blank statements about it. And praise God. Why would he make faith difficult to walk in if we need to be able to do that to please him? That would be the dumbest thing in the world. I'm going to give you something hard to do that you have to do to please me. So you can't please me without doing this really hard thing that most people can't do. That would be ridiculous. And so praise God. Now, the last time we taught, one of the things that I'm going to go back over to read again is because we were looking at faith, because faith is measurable. We found out, you know, that the different things that the scriptures talk about faith, and one of them the last time we looked at was over in Romans, the 4th chapter. We're looking at Abraham, and I'm going to go back to there again before we go on. That Abraham just inspires me concerning faith and these statements in Romans. I remember, you know, as Kenneth Hagin teaching, the first times I ever heard him teach on faith, and he used these in Romans. And I just, you know, I was thinking about all the years that these were in the Bible, and I remember as a kid growing up in church, I don't know if I heard anybody ever read these or expound on them. I don't know if he ever did. But they're absolutely astounding. And here again, I mean, Abraham inspires me. I read what he did, and if Abraham could do that, then we can do that. And I'm going to break in at verse 16 of the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. And it says, therefore, if it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith, of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And understand, Abraham's not the father of us all from the standpoint, we all don't come out, you know, we're not out of the Jewish family. So what he's talking about, faith, the faith family, and we're all, everybody who is in the faith family, anybody in the faith family, Abraham's our father, because he's considered the father of faith. And so in verse 17 it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, so he wasn't weak in faith. And why wasn't he weak in faith? It says, he did not consider his own body also already dead. Now, remember it said back here? He believed in the God that brings, you know, the dead to life. That's what he's believing in. And what does he say about it? He's believing about himself? He's dead. Concerning to producing children, he's dead. And his faith was that the God could make the one that's dead produce. That's what this God. This God gives life to the ones who's dead. And his body's already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. So in other words, Sarah's womb. He's believing, you know, even though it seems that they're lifeless, not able to produce, he's believing what the promise of God said. God said that he was going to be the father of many nations. So he's believing that, and he wasn't looking at the facts. So strong faith is not looking at the conditions of things going on or the sense realm of what's happening or going on. He's looking at the promise of God, is what God said was true no matter what anything else looks like. He was a guy who called, he had this God who called things that don't exist as though they do. He's doing that. He's calling this stuff as if it exists. He's acting like God. And so he's doing, it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So you imagine, as we had talked before we started, 25 years had passed from the time that Abraham had this promise. And this guy is one of the things that said, he's consistent, he's giving glory to God. He's constantly glorifying God that God's doing what he said. You know, he stood for 25 years, from the time the promise came till the child of the promise came. And he stood with God all those years. He stood with God, you know. He just kept believing God. Even in between, he had the messed up and produced a child, but he stood with God. You know, he's standing with what God is saying. And so he was constantly giving glory to God. It says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him as righteousness. See, he believed that God was going to do what he said. God would do it. And, you know, it's that's one of the things that, because, you know, over the years, I mean, just as growing up in the church, they talk about, well, God doesn't do this anymore, and God won't do it. See, they waver at the promise of God. They didn't believe. They believe God quit doing all this stuff. And the reason they believe that is because over time, people come along, and they said they were in faith, which were never in faith. They didn't know what faith was. And they were talking about, I'm believing God. It's number one, believing God is not a mental process. And this is one of the big things that you have to learn about the areas of faith, is it is not a mental process. Not mental. You know, we want to renew our minds, but the mind cannot be renewed till you believe in your heart that the word's true. It starts in the heart. Don't start in the mind. See, most people are trying to become mentally convinced. It ain't going to work like that. It's getting yourself over to you become convinced in your heart. That's what you have to first become convinced at. Till you become convinced in your heart, there's not much of a you're wasting your time trying to convince your mind. Because if your heart's in doubt, surely your mind, and the only thing you're going to come to is a mental assent, and mental assent will produce nothing. Mental assent, mentally ascending that God's word is true, produces nothing. It won't do anything. And as we go on, we'll talk more about this. But we find out here that Abraham, he believed God, was counted unto him as righteousness. And so he had faith. Why? He believed God was going to do what he said. And God did it. He didn't consider his dead body. In other words, what the body's saying, whether it comes down to health and healing, people have to come to the place where they don't believe what their body's saying. That when the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed, or the Bible says that he took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, is that true or not? So you have to come to the place where you believe that the promise is true and God will carry out in you what he said. You have to come to that. And you can't. You can't put even your flesh. Abraham's looking. He said, the body's dead. But what's he doing? He's glorifying God. He's not sitting around saying, oh man, I hope God soon does this. I hope. He's giving glory to God. He's glorifying God for doing. He believes God's going to carry it out. And this is the whole thing of it is getting yourself over, standing upon the promises of God, and don't waver at those promises. You know, in the book of Acts, we have a thing there that talks about Stephen. If we went over and read the whole thing, what it deals with is the disciples, they had the Jews and the Hellenists. The Hellenists were the Greek Jews, the Jews that were actually lived, more of the Greek side. What was happening at the church was taking care of the widows that were Jewish, but not really taking care of the Hellenistic Jews. And so they said, hey, we need some. They complained about it, and the disciples came together, and they said, hey, you guys need to choose some guys. You choose some guys, you know, for this matter, to make sure that the food's distributed out. They said, the disciple says, we can't leave the Word of God and go do this. And here is something that was made, that Rose, that you made a statement about earlier, is it says here concerning Stephen in Acts 6 and in verse 5, saying about this, because of their choices they made, and it said, and the saying pleased the whole people, and that was the fact that the whole people, they said to them, you guys choose, you know, some of these guys, and ones, that, and he said, the ones you're supposed to choose, they're supposed to be full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And here we have, so the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to understand this, just think about it. They chose a man full of faith, so you can be full of faith. Well, how would they know he's full of faith? You see, faith can be, you can tell when a person's full of faith or not. You can tell. See, faith's not some hidden thing. Now, most people talk about faith, and they're talking about faith as hidden because it's no more than talk. Faith cannot be just talk. It can't be, oh, I'm trusting the Lord. In many times, and I'm not speaking critically, I hear people say, I'm trusting God. And I know full well by what they're doing, they're not trusting God. I know they're not. Because, you know, and we need to be careful because people can get into the place where and they can just be ignorant. They really do think they're believing God. They think they're trusting the Lord. When they really don't, their actions are showing that they really don't believe God's going to do what He said anyhow, because they're trying to figure out how to do it someplace else and get something else done. And they're going around trying to tell or get other people to do something about it. And they're talking about trusting God, when really they're not. They're not really in a place of trust. But they noticed, they picked guys out, the guys they picked. Well, Stephen was one. He was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. In other words, it had to be tangible things that they could see about him that he was full of faith and that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And so these things can be seen in people. And that's what you is one of the things that I have learned over the years is to look is you know, when Jesus when the guys came and, you know, tore the roof off the house to put him down in, Jesus said he could see their faith. In other words, what they were doing act like they had faith. The other people weren't doing any. Yeah, I don't care if they wanted healed. I don't care if they believed God could heal. They had no actions of faith. They weren't acting like God was going to. They're getting this guy here because they believe they'd get him here. He's going to get healed. And it's just like, you know, a lot of people. I can often, you know, say, you know, people I've had over the years, people say, well, you know, I didn't come to church. I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't come to church. I know this. They'll say, I'm believing God. I don't say anything to them, but I know you're just going to stay sick. If you believe God was going to get healed, you'd have acted like it. You'd have come to church to get healed. But you don't believe it. But you'd go run to the doctor. We'll go sit sick in a doctor's office. We'll go sit there sick. So people don't believe. They go through all these motions of things, but their faith proves differently. Their faith, what they do, and you got to get. If you don't understand that, you'll never walk by faith. Your actions will either put you over or put you under. It doesn't matter. And people need to come to this place where they realize that, my words, you know, is most people and most spirit-filled people have much more faith in the doctor, a lot more, than they do in divine healing. You know, they'll believe, you know, they'll say, yeah, we pray and, you know, people. But if they don't feel well, their first ain't to go on to do something spiritual. It's first to do something physical. That's what it is. And you can see that about people. And just all things in life, you can tell by what people do. And if you don't grasp the part about the action, you're never going to walk really in any kind of high level of faith. It'll never happen. Because I've learned over time, what you do is what puts you over. And the whole thing is, you have to act like what you believe is true. You have to have actions toward that, acting like it's true. And that's an enormous thing for people. That was one of the things that, I don't know why, it just caught me when I first, Brother Hagin would talk about actions. When I was a baby Christian, I listened to his tapes and he'd talk about doing the Word. And I just started to ask God, what does he mean by this? What does he mean? I wanted to know. Somehow I knew that was important, but somehow I knew it didn't ring a bell with me. Why? And when I finally learned, God taught me and I learned what it was, actions. In fact, it was no more about less than 2 years ago. The Lord spoke to me about things of what he said. The reason that I had, he said, the reason that you have had numbers of times, you know, where you've had instantaneous healings on the miraculous side. He said, the reason you have had these is because you do extreme things. He said, that's why you get it. And see, people need to understand we all walk in different levels of faith. There are too many times with people, we need to understand this. Many times people, reason it takes them so long to get healed is because they're on such a low level of faith. It takes a long time for their faith to work to bring it to pass. Somebody who has stronger faith can bring things to pass faster. And see, a lot of people don't understand that. They think that they throw faith all in the can together. And if you have faith, all faith is the same. No, it's not. I learned this, the more extreme you are to walk over in the areas of faith and in your actions, the more extreme things you'll see take place. The Lord even used to me and said about the working of miracle. He said, you understand, he said, how the gift of working of miracles work. He said, where a person does something I anoint them and they do a certain thing and a miracle takes place. Just like with Moses, you know, he put his rod out over the water and the water separated. So, and he spoke to me, he said, you understand doing that. And he said, in the sense you practice that in your faith, you will do extreme things. And I would sometimes do what people would think was foolish. I have been told I was foolish in things that I did, but yet the things that I did caused a miracle to take place. But I was told by so-called faith people that I was, that's too extreme. And you expect, well, I'm sorry, you ain't going to see miracles. Miracles aren't done. You know, it's like Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth talked about, I remember reading in a book, Ever Increasing Faith, where he walked in the house, a neighbor lady died. And he went into the house and he got down on his knees beside her bed. She was dead and started to pray. And his wife said, oh, Smith, come on, don't do that. And just trying to get him away from the bed. And he's there praying. She's dead, you know. He's praying. And she, oh, come on, Smith. No, don't do that. He said, I prayed, and he said, till I, at the end of my faith. Then he said, all of a sudden, a faith took a hold of me. He said, that could not be denied. He walked over, grabbed the woman. I wonder what they thought. Took her out of the bed, drug her out of the bed, pushed her over against the wall, and slammed her again. And from what I understand, slammed her against the wall and told her to walk in Jesus' name. And she just started falling over, and he grabbed her and slammed her up against the wall again, told her to walk. The third time, she came to life and walked. But you know what? This is what people don't understand. You're not going to have any of that ever happen through any individual who will just be sort of timid in their own faith. He wasn't timid in his personal faith. He wasn't timid. People who are timid in their faith will never have that happen. It won't happen. It won't take place. You have to go to the end of your faith. And if the end of your faith ain't much at all, it ain't much of all of anything going to happen. And that's what people need to understand. If you can get people to step out and get into this thing, because you got to get over, is God's word true or not? Is it true? Now, is number one, I know with Smith Wigglesworth, I remember when I first read those things, I didn't quite understand it all when he talked about that till I had the gift of faith operate in me. But I understand this. If you don't go to the end of your faith, you probably won't have the gift of faith ever drop on you. The gift of faith usually comes because you're standing and pushing in a certain direction, and all of a sudden it comes. But if a person ain't walking to the edge of nothing, you know, they're not really pushing on anything. There's not much for God to do. And that's what we need to know is so important. It's just like, you know, like Benny Hinn has like the gifts of healing operate through him. And number one, see, people think that just happens because he just has those gifts. It's not the way it works. You ever notice how bold he is about those gifts? How he talks like it's just going to be happening? Lots of times he talks that stuff and the anointing ain't even on him. But he gets bold and says things. He starts talking. He's not afraid. If you're afraid, well, what if I do that and it don't work? Well, stay home then. You know, ain't no purpose being out there and trying to act like you got something you ain't got anyhow, because, you know, everybody's going to be disappointed. You start talking and you start saying certain things. And you open the door for God to start to do things. Your faith will start to open doors for God. If you have not spoken any things of faith, there's nothing for God to do. Abraham, God gave him a promise, but that promise would have never came to pass without Abraham acting like it was true. Abraham had his part. I don't care. I said, well, God did it. Well, not specifically. God could have done nothing had not Abraham done his part. It was a God-man thing. And it always is. It's always a God-man thing. Think about this. What if Moses wouldn't have went up to Egypt? It wouldn't have happened. God had to get a guy to go do that. If a guy didn't cooperate with him, if God could do it by himself, why didn't he go do it? I was like, well, God will just do it. He doesn't really need us. When somebody says this, there's one thing is I know. If they're even a Christian, they're lucky because they don't understand anything. God don't just save people because they need saving. If man doesn't cooperate, he don't get saved. No matter how much God wants it. And get that. Yeah, really learn to grasp a hold of the fact, the importance that we have in the thing. You know, I realize that God does the miracles, but if he has not got a guy to cooperate with him, they don't happen. They don't happen. And we're cooperating. And our faith is a huge, enormous thing. It's like Abraham. His faith was the big thing and the key that made this work. And when Paul wrote this in Romans, he tells, you know, he's God does these things, but he tells how it happened. It was Abraham. Abraham's the guy that stood. Abraham, you know, those 25 years weren't like the years with God. There's a long time. We're out here in this thing. Mama's getting older, and I'm getting older. Man, you know, we go to bed at night, and there's you know, no whatchamacallit, you know, to take, to get you going at night. There's no blue pills. It's like, whoa, this isn't going well. But praise God, he believed God. You know, it doesn't tell us. He talks about the deadness of Sarah's womb. God wasn't making it look good. It wasn't look like it was working at all. Or he had never said, yeah, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Mary's, well, she's getting to be an old mama. I'm an old guy. Look at us. Praise God. Well, it's good stuff anyhow. But this Stephen, he was full of faith. But, you know, if we go over, you know, and you read the things that happened to Stephen, you find out. Stephen gets preaching. People know he's full of faith. He acts, he has certain ways of acting that's not like everybody else. Yeah. There's a book concerning the things of God. Understand miracles. This is one thing God's trying to deal with the church today has come back over in the area. People years ago were much bolder, generally in the body of Christ, were much bolder. And we've gotten timid because society says you're supposed to calm down. And we just, oh, okay, we'll do it. We'll calm down. We'll do whatever you want. You know, and then complain about society. No, we need to become bolder and bolder about the gospel. You know, what we believe. And keep walking in the light of the truth of it. In James, the second chapter, I'm going to go back to the book of James. James makes it, because being full of faith, in other words, a person, you can be full of faith in the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, that's not something that's been put out there that you can't be. You can be full of faith. Hallelujah. One of the big things is learning to say the right things, especially just in your life, is talking the right things, especially about yourself. Talk about yourself in faith. Talk about, say concerning yourself, you know, I'm quick to believe the Word of God. I'm quick to believe it was true. I'm quick to act on it. You got to learn to talk those things. Don't, well, I got this problem with it. Well, then you're just going to have that problem because you keep talking about those. If you don't start talking the right things and see yourself as a person of faith, you'll never become a person of faith. We become a person of faith by talking like we're a person of faith. That's what I am. I'm a person of faith. I can believe God. I can believe the Word of God. I refuse to believe that I have trouble believing the Word of God. I ain't going to talk like that. I won't say it. And you got to say the right things. Talking the right, you got to learn to do that. You got to learn to say the right things about yourself. Talk about yourself like the Bible talks about us. The Bible calls me a believer. We should never talk about ourselves in a way that we're not, because that is directly against the Word of God. The Bible says I'm a believer, then that's just the way it is. I'm a believer. I'm not going to talk like I'm not a believer. I'm a believer. I believe what the Word says. And so speak of yourself in that manner. Now, in James, the second chapter, let's go to verse, down to two. James, second chapter. And this will be good because it starts off about Abraham. But in verse 21 says this, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Now listen, you understand what he's talking about here. God told him to go offer his son. What was his actions? See, he could say, well, yeah, I believe God wants me to do this. Yeah, I believe I heard from God. But now you got to go do that. See, he's acting on what God said to do. He's acting on the Word. This is what it is. Now, here it says to us, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Abraham's faith would have never been justified if he hadn't done what God said. I don't care if he said he believed God was true. See, we think we're justified but talk. You're not justified but just talk alone. If you talk and do the right thing, you got justification. Abraham, what he did, it says, was counted in him. His faith, and what was Abraham's faith? It was what he believed and did and said the whole thing. Not just, I believe it's true. That makes me righteous. No, righteousness is based upon actions too. And we find out here that James is basically telling us Abraham's actions is what justified him or made him righteous. So he said, when he offered up Isaac, son of the Lord, he said, do you see that faith was working together? That faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was made perfect. You can have perfect faith. And perfect faith is not some weird thing trying to have. You can have perfect faith. Perfect. Here it says, Abraham's faith was perfect. Why? Because what he believed and what he did were the same. They worked together. That's perfect faith. There's no such thing as faith just talking. That's not faith. Faith must have actions, corresponding actions to it, for it to be perfect. So most time people, what they call faith is only a part of faith. You know, they only get a part of it. They do what part of it, and they're trying to call it. So there's a he said perfect faith. He said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, do you see that? Believing what God said is not what makes you righteous. It is believing what God said and doing what God said is what makes you righteous. That's faith. Faith is not just believing the word is true. That's not faith. That's only part of faith. That's part of faith. You believe it's true, but if you don't act on it, James, you know, wrote, faith without action is dead. He's called a friend. The guy says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, not just by believing something. His action. He has to have actions to it. So he's not justified. If he's not justified, he's not righteous. He's justified by what he does. That's what makes him right. By acting like it's true. Likewise, you know, he says, was not Rachel, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out on their way? What happened? She heard about Israel and believed it. That they were God had given them the land, and that they couldn't stand against him. And what her actions corresponded to what she believed, and God spared her life. See, it wouldn't really say she'd have believed it and turned them in too. That wasn't faith. There was no justification in what she did. You must always act on what you say you believe. You have to act on it, because if you don't, you're never justified. It can't come to pass. It must be done. When we sit down and we look at perfect faith, here's what perfect faith is. Perfect faith does this. It believes what God said. It says what God says. It does what God says. And it gives glory to God for the words that were said. That's perfect faith. That's what Abraham did. Abraham, if you look back through with Abraham, Abraham believed God. He said what God said. And then he turned around. He did what God said. And Abraham, what it says, gave glory to God. He glorified God. What? For the promise. It's true. Wow. Thank you, Lord God. The promise is true. So you see, you've got to keep acting. There's action. That's why faith has in itself is more than one part. Many people say, well, I believe what the Word Bible says. As if that's some great thing. And people don't understand. That's a good start, place to start, but that's not going to bring anything to pass. Nothing comes to pass because I believe it. Nothing will ever come to pass because you believe it. You can believe it's true, and that means nothing. You're going to have to start to talk it. That's true. Then you're going to start to act like it's true. And then you start thanking God that it's true and it's coming to pass for you. Hallelujah. And that's what you do. Glory to God. It's working. Hallelujah. See, it's working for me. See, that's when it says, when you pray, believe you'll receive and you'll have it. You believe it. You believe what the promise says. You tell God, God, I believe I received the promise. It belongs to me. Then you go off and act like it's so that it's coming to pass. This thing's happening for me. I got it. It's mine. It belongs to me. Abraham believed the promise belonged to him because it says he glorified God. He's walked around 25 years glorifying God. Well, don't look like it's going to happen, but he believes it's going to happen. He believes it's so. We're getting older and look deader, but my God brings life to the dead, so it don't matter how old I get, we'll still produce. Because, see, our God gives life to the dead. It don't matter. It don't matter how dead I look. They can take me out and put me in the ground, but if God gave the promise, he's going to have to bring it to pass. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to bring the promise to pass. Then he's just going to have to raise us from the dead. That's all there is to it. You see, getting self over in the areas of faith, is the Word of God true? In getting ourselves into that place where we believe that God's Word is true. But, you know, as Kenneth Hagin put those four things together, and it really, because I learned them as a young Christian, is doing those things, is believing, you just believe what God says, you say what God says, and that's good. Then you do what God says, you do it. You act like it's true. Act like it's true. If you believe that God's Word's true, act like it. Boy, you get a smile on your face. You can be sitting there having all kind of problems, but praise God. He's going to do it for me. So you watch people and say, we're just believing God. I just look at their face and I know they ain't believing God because their actions prove it. They're still, we're trying to twist God's arm, get him to do this. They don't believe they received it. They aren't acting like it. Are they glorifying God? No. They're not glorifying God. They're not doing what Abraham did. If Abraham, what he did, justified him and made him righteous, do you think it's any different for us? See, people just say, we're righteous by faith. I just got it because I accepted Jesus and I don't ever, to have righteousness, I don't, all I got to do is walk around just because I'm saved. That's what most of the church world believes. I'm saved. And that's why they think, if God wanted me to have something, he'd have gave it to me because I'm righteous. They don't realize that ain't how this thing works. You know, I made a confession and got saved, but if I want anything, I got to be able to walk in this salvation, be able to live it, walk in this faith. This faith requires something of me. It requires something of me to do. But you know what? These actions, and I just want to tell you this, these actions can become so normal for you to do, you won't think twice about doing it. I don't think about it anymore. When it comes to healing and things, I don't think about it anymore. It's just as normal as what to do. It's just as normal. See, you come to the place, you just keep practicing. It's anything that you practice just becomes normal to you. You practice it right after a while. It's like, it just becomes just as natural. Faith in a Christian should be the most natural thing that we do. Just so natural. Trust the Word of God. Do what the Word of God says. You know, I remember, I used to think about guys like Kenneth Hagin and different ones, and I'd sit down and read books about people years ago in faith and the things they walked in life. I thought, they just seem to have such an ease about walking in this thing. They don't seem to have this great struggle at life to trying to follow the Word. They have struggles, things come against them, but they aren't struggling to try to walk with God. This is what you do to walk with God. And if you want to change the problems that are here, this is what you do. And seeing that and getting over that thing, because it does become just a natural way. And we can practice these things. They're not hard to do. You just believe what God's Word said, then you go say what God's Word. Don't say something else than what God's Word says about it. You say what God's Word. People want to get you to say something else. You know, they'll come and ask you. They'll try to get you to say something. You just say what God said about it. You know, then you just do. Just act like it's true. You know, one of the biggest things that people, the biggest thing is just acting like it's true. Just get a little bit of happy would do some good. Wow, praise God. God, I believe I received it. I believe that belongs to me. Now just think, if you come to the place where you really believe what you ask for belongs to you, how could you still be sad? It's an impossibility. You know? I'm guaranteeing those guys are tearing off the roof off of that house Jesus is in. I'll guarantee you they didn't have long faces. They weren't up there, oh my words. Well, what you got to do to get somebody in this place? And they're just going through that. They weren't doing that. These guys were up there glad. Figure out a way to do this, man. We're going to tear this guy's roof off. We're going to get him down there. This, our friend's getting healed. This is the way it's going to be. We're getting him down there. So get that over on your, and get thinking like that. Now I just want to, because the Bible talks again about a sincere faith, which we want to talk about that. In 1 Timothy, in the first chapter, Timothy was a pastor of a church, and Paul was writing to Timothy in the 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in 1st chapter, in 1 Timothy. And in his writing to him, the Apostle Paul writing here to Timothy, I want to go back over here to this. I wasn't going at first, but in the third verse, 1 Timothy, the 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Timothy's writing here. He says, in verse 3, he says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they are to teach no other doctrine. He's talking about people. Some people start teaching wrong doctrine. Not to teach any different. Don't teach. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 5. Well, we're going to first. I started at 3. We're going to. It says, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. He said, now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and from sincere faith. Now, that word sincere there, that word sincere really comes from, really means without hypocrisy. And it was used originally to denote the acting in a play. And its meaning here, significance, is sincerity means to avoid a pretension and without putting on an act. Don't put on an act. There's one thing, and understand this. You can't put on an act about your faith and your faith develop. There are Christians who know that they're not in faith and know it and keep pretending around people because they won't admit they're not. And they keep putting on the pretense they're in faith and they're not in faith. And they know they're not in faith. They put on an act. And they'll never grow in faith. In fact, they'll probably end up having less than what they had. You don't ever put pretense on concerning faith. If you don't have faith to do something, somebody comes and asks you to agree and you can't agree, use good head because you're only going to hurt yourself putting pretense on. Because what this is you put on an act, you're a liar. And your faith ain't going to work if you're a liar. Is understand that. People do it all the time because they want other people to feel that they're spiritual. There's people sometimes they ask me different things standing in faith with on them on, and I don't, you know, sometimes things I get out there and I think, well, I don't know that if I can, you know, maybe you believe for that. I don't know if I don't know for sure if I can do that. It's not just a faith, because I got to know it from a scriptural standpoint. See, he's talking about there the doctrine that's preached. If you got to have the right doctrine preached so you can have faith. See, wrong doctrine, you might have faith in wrong, you might believe a wrong doctrine, but it ain't faith in God, God ain't getting in it with you. No matter how much you believe it. And this is what he's writing to him about. When we talk about faith, there's only one kind of faith we're talking about. It's faith in the Word of God. God doesn't consider anything else faith except faith in His Word. It's not faith. If you believe something else, that is called unbelief. That's unbelief. That's not believing God's Word. If you believe some other doctrine that's not scriptural, that's called unbelief. Because it's different than what God said. So understand, you know, different people say, well, all these different faiths. There is no different faith. There's only one faith, and that's the faith of the Bible, of the teachings of the Word of God. That's the only faith there is. Anything outside of it is not a faith. It is unbelief. See, settle that fact. You start believing other people got faith, and, well, they had faith in this or that. If it ain't in the Bible, it ain't faith. It's unbelief. There's only one place of faith, and it's the Word of God. And so I need to, if I know what the Word of God says, and I'm believing the Word of God, I'm in faith. That's why I'm believing the right thing. And this is what he's talking about. So faith that's sincere faith, in other words, faith that don't have pretense, it's not trying to put on an act. You don't want to do that with faith. You want to have a sincere faith. Your faith where you're not putting on an act. You know, believe, I always tell people, the best thing you ever do is believe where you can or where you can stand. Don't try to step in a place you can't. You put on an act for other people like you have faith for something you don't, you're just destined for failure. And you will end up with nothing. I watch people do that. Go beyond where they could believe, and they ended up with nothing when they could have had something if they wouldn't have been so, you know, pig-headed about it and trying to act like the people that they had something they didn't have and ended up with nothing. I'd rather get whatever I can out of the deal. You know, I've watched people and I've talked to people about it. I had the Lord had me teach specifically years ago. In fact, we were still out at the school, the Christian school there we were at, and the Lord had me teaching on what Brother Hagin, that Jesus told Kenneth Hagin about people, what divine healing. He said divine healing is without a doctor or any kind of other medical things or anything. That's divine healing. He said, now if a person goes to a doctor, you pray for them and tell them that I want them well and I'll give them a quick recovery. He had me specifically teach on that and do that. So what I did is he told me to minister to people, and he told me to minister to people from two different groups. It's people who wanted to stand in the area of divine healing. Now I said, you know, and so I called people, you want divine healing? This is talking about people who are going to stand. You're not going to do anything medically. You're believing God. You just want to do that. And I'm going to also have people come up. I'm going to pray for that group of people. If you have to, that's where your faith is. You believe you need help from the doctor. I said, there's no condemnation. I said, the Lord said, we're supposed to pray for you, so for a quick recovery. Well, this one woman come up, and she, you know, was divine, said she had divine healing. And when I laid hands on her, I knew she was lying. I knew she was lying. And then I found, you know, on top of it, I found out late, right after service was over, she went up and said, you know, for divine healing. Well, see, she wanted divine healing, but she didn't have the faith for it. And she just put on pretense. She had already planned to go to a doctor. In fact, a person came up after me and said, you know, she came back and later after you prayed for her and said, yeah, she had a point, she's going to be going to the doctor and this, that, and the other thing. And the person came up and told me it. And I knew it was just a verification to me that I knew it was true, that she was going to do that. But see, she put on an act. You know what? She died in her 50s. I'm going to tell you, putting on acts will kill you. The devil will kill you. God didn't kill her. But see, she gets over on the devil's side and playing those games. And what happened to her is after a while she got away. None of her faith worked. None of it worked. She played with faith till it didn't work no more. She couldn't even get nothing. She couldn't get it working at all. And see, that's why you don't play with that stuff. I walk where I can. If I can't walk in a place, I mean, what's the point? You know, you stand in faith where you can. Get what you can. Hallelujah. If you get what you can, I will guarantee you the next time you'll take more. It's just, that's the way it works. You just learn to walk where you can. Learn to develop your faith. You don't have to put on, you know, somebody expects you to go to something greater than what you can believe. Well, let them believe whatever they want to. You know, we don't have to. You just walk where you can. My words, there's people out here who can believe things I sure can't. You know. And don't bother me none. I just walk where I can. I believe where I can. And so that's what you want to do. Don't put on any kind of pretense of things, because it'll only lead you to problems. And you definitely don't want to go there. Don't put on acts concerning your faith. I've watched that with people. You know, we had mentioned a certain individual, you know, and we first, you know, before we started off. So then they used to always put on an act about faith. Died prematurely, another person. You know, just like, what do they do it for? I talked to them about it. I specifically spoke to them about it. Just keep going on, because they want to make people think that they were something that they weren't. It's like, what do you want to do that for? We're not nothing, my God. It's just... You know, you can never develop your faith or make it grow. And doing that stuff, you can't. It'll never work. It'll never work. And, you know, I think about when I started off, you know, I wanted to be able to believe like Kenneth Hagin, but I sure couldn't. But, you know, God told me, showed me things that he did where I could believe too, and I could go and step into that. And then that would lead me to believe for more or something, where you could step into something else. And you just learn to do that. And man, I'll tell you, just learn to walk like that. Just learn to hook up wherever you can. The Apostle Paul, writing in Timothy again, he went and spoke about some people again in 1 Timothy there. And he made statement here. I'm going to start at verse 18. Here he said, in verse 18, he said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwrecked faith." Now, listen to what he says. "Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander," he said, "whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." Now, listen. He said they have shipwrecked faith. Well, this is, I know, right. Their faith must have started off right. But they got off onto things, and he said they ended up with shipwrecked faith. In other words, their faith, they got off the things and ended up having a good faith crash. You know, getting out there, and we find out that Paul said he had turned them over to Satan so they wouldn't blaspheme. They got off on doctrine. They got off on false things. And the faith that they had ended up not working, them ended up in destruction. We need to understand that. This is why you want to stay with the Word of God. People are always going to come along. It's just like, you know, I was talking on Sunday. People come along and the guy starts teaching, you know, that you don't have to repent. See, I mean, people have to learn. You know, the Bible says you do. I mean, there's so many places. I mean, go over and read the book of Revelation. Go read the seven churches. Every one of them you're told to repent. Now, if I don't have to repent, who's that written to? What church is that? I mean, these people and this stuff that's written and people are falling for it left and right. Why? They like to hear sloppy Christianity. If you like to hear things that, you know, mean that, you know, oh boy, I don't have to do all this stuff they've been teaching us. You already know if you want to get off over in there to a good old sloppy Christianity, well, there's a good chance you're going to be in big trouble. Well, we know these guys did, and they ended up in shipwreck. So you don't want to go there. So a person can start off right and end up in a lot of trouble. And the reason it is here, he said, really, he says some things they blaspheme. In other words, the things that they teach are blasphemy. And really, that God teaching people not to repent is blasphemy. That's not good, teaching people that. Because I want to tell you, every one of us, when we meet up Jesus, I don't want to run into Jesus and say, you know what, you lived like hell, boy. I don't want to have that happen, dear God. And, we're all going to run into Jesus. One thing is being ready for the Lord's coming, is being ready from the standpoint. We don't want to be founded, you know. God doesn't want us to show up in heaven and we have no reward. And Hymas and Philetus, they had learned a lesson. They ended up with shipwrecked faith, and on top of it, got turned over to the devil. Dear Lord, things ain't pretty. So, but, you know, people get over in that area, you know, when Jesus, you know, told this, the used the illustration of and the parable of the sower, you know, he mentioned in there. Well, I'm just going to use from Matthew 13:22, where it says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." See, this is what happens to people come along. They heard the word. They knew it was right. Shipwrecked faith came along. They were in the right direction. But other things came along and entered in, and they started making their choices by the other things that entered in. And what happens? They didn't produce what they wanted to produce. It didn't produce like they wanted. They didn't end up with what they wanted. And so you always want to stay with the Word of God. Yeah, many times you'll find when you go to stand on faith, other things enter in. You know, there's stuff in life. You know, there's one thing is you find people, they'll go along in life, they accept Christ, they walk along, and it really sounds good. But other things and old friends come back around again and other stuff, and people get over, and next thing you know, they're all following. And the love of other people and what they're doing and that kind of things, you know. I've watched people, you know, go along and accept Christ, but, you know, even among family members and, you know, well, to get along with family members, they start getting slack on the Word of God. They start getting slacker on the Word. Why? Well, the love of other things. They love their family members more than they love God, and they'll start slacking off. They'll start slacking off, keep everybody happy in the family, and that don't work out. That'll never work, you know. Stay hot whether people like it or not. Don't let it bother us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just keep walking in the Word of God. Don't quit doing what the Word says. You know, and I want to scroll back over to 1 John the 5th chapter. Back over to 1 John the 5th chapter. Because we see these statements about faith. It helps us. There's loads of things that we can learn in 1 John the 5th chapter. I start at verse 2. It says, "By this we know that that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." See, to keep a commandment means you have to do something. It isn't enough you believe in the commandment of love. You're going to have to do it. And it goes on and says, verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Overcoming faith. Oh, faith overcomes the world, or the things that deal with the world system and what the world system... I mean, think about it. We have a world system that's running today, say, the world system in our nation. Many Christians are acting like the church has been overcome. Well, we ain't going to make it. I'm sorry. My faith is just about what is about when this kind of stuff happens. It's overcoming faith. My faith overcomes what they do, what they're offering, what the pressures that they bring. The world system is nothing compared. What it is my faith. If I'm not overcoming, it's my faith problem. It's not the world problem. So you must go, well, all this stuff, it makes it hard out here. No, it don't. Faith is the same no matter what. It don't change. What you do to have faith does never change whether the problem seems bigger or smaller. It doesn't change. Faith is always identical. It always operates the same way. And our faith was designed for this very purpose, to overcome the world. That's what it was. Overcoming faith. That's what we're called to have. Our faith will overcome the world. Faith in the Word of God will always overcome what's operating in the world system. It'll always overcome it. It'll overcome those things. And so we need to just get over and have that overcoming faith. And just in closing on this part of the subject that we've been teaching on, and we'll finish with this tonight, and we'll go start on other stuff, on some other things our next time. But you know, we knew and we talked about in the beginning about in Hebrews 11:6, where it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. So understand this. So faith is why we please God. So when we, now think about it. Is it difficult to please God? Now think about it. What do you have to do? You have to believe what He said was true. Then you have to say what His word is true. Then you just act like it's true. And you glorify what? That it's true. That's what we do. That's what faith is. And you know what? God's happy. It pleases Him when you and I do that. It pleases Him. Wow, wasn't that tough? Wasn't that a hard thing to do? Now I realize we face circumstances that run contrary to it, but if you learn to realize this is not some big, huge, hard thing, it's not. I mean, if Abraham can do it for 25 years and he ain't born again, Ed Gibson has no excuse. See, if you give yourself an excuse, you'll use it. I have no excuse. If I miss it, I will ride up and say, God, I missed it. I ain't going to sit and mess around because I'm going to get it fixed. If I missed it, I'm getting it corrected. I don't know about anybody else going to do it to you. I'm getting it corrected. F.F. Bosworth said this. F.F. Bosworth says, most Christians feed their bodies, he said, 3 hot meals a day and their spirit 1 cold snack a week. And they wonder why they're so weak in faith. See, it's what you got to learn to feed the inner man. We're going to end up teaching on that and looking on those areas. Believers, you know, they start out, we need all of us believers, we start off with the same measure of faith, but we have to develop that faith. And it does. At first, it does seem to be more work. It's much easier now for me to develop the areas of my faith because I've learned how to do it. At first, it was a real task. I had to come into understanding because sometimes, you know, I was trying to do it through a mental process more than in a spiritual process. How to learn. But once I learned how the spiritual process worked and learned to put it to use, I found that it was very easy to do. I was working out from the other side. I was trying to change things about myself spiritually through the mental. Oh man, what a labor. And it don't work. We're not doing that. We need to understand that, you know, you and I will only have according to what we believe. You know, Jesus, 2 blind men followed him and said, went in their house and he asked them the question. He said, do you believe I can do it for you? And they said, yes. And he said, well, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Understand. See, people say, well, Jesus healed them. But Jesus said it was according to their faith. No matter how much power he had, he said it was according to their faith. So they got what their faith would take a hold of. They got what their faith would take a hold of. That's what they got. He said, you're going to get this according to your faith. He didn't say according to my power. Well, most people always believe it's the power of God. It's the power of God, the power of God. Jesus didn't say that. See, because Jesus talked to them about the manward side. There wasn't no problem with the Godward side. God was on the side of healing. There's never a problem with the Godward side. This is what men keep focusing on, the Godward side, and that's why we miss it. It's the manward side. God has His side, and you know what? That's where the faith comes in. I always believe He's going to do His side. I don't think He's going to lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. I've come to the place. I believe that's downright true. So, if I'm dealing with a problem, it's got to be my side. It has to be my side. Just like, you know, last time I was taught, and I said about, you know, when this past March when I was down there, I got over and messed up my side. But I had enough sense to know, when I asked God about it, I didn't say, well, God, what are you doing? Why aren't you healing me? Why? I just stopped and said, God, where am I missing this thing? Because I knew it had to be on Ed's side, because God can't lie. Any person ever comes to me and starts talking to me about why God, I know this. They're calling God a liar. Now, they may not mean it, but they are. They're saying, well, the reason this ain't working is God. My words, wonderful me. I couldn't miss it. You know how good I am. Let's get over there. I found it is so simple to get corrected. Most people never get corrected because they never deal with themselves. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always God's fault. It's God's, oh, but God's holding it back for a reason. He ain't got no choice to hold it back. You're not in faith. He can't give it to you. He's been trying to give it to you. Dear God, he's doing everything he can to give it to you. But they won't see. And if you make a statement to them about their faith, they'll get mad at you. They get mad. Say, no, come over to the thing. It's just like when I told the Lord, I said, Lord, where am I missing it? I'm missing it here somewhere. You're not. And you know what? I have never failed to hear from God when I am willing to be corrected. I have never had a failure in hearing from God when I'm willing to be corrected on it. Immediately he spoke to me and told me how I wasn't operating in faith. He immediately told me. And, you know, what if I'd have got offended? What if I'd have played the game that most people play? I thought, I'll tell you, I was half ashamed. I thought, my God, I know how this thing works. How did I get so stupid? I didn't even have an excuse to do what I did. Because I know how it worked. Somebody that's a baby Christian would have had a good excuse why they didn't know it worked. I had zero excuse. And I just told the Lord, I blew this one. I said, Lord, how stupid could I have been? I didn't know that. I said, you're right. I've been sitting around here, kept looking at my body. Dear Lord, I said, you're right. You're right. You're right. Well, then you can get it fixed. What you can't get it fixed doing it another way. Hallelujah. So praise God. Glory to God. So we want to just keep, you know, our faith determines what we're going to get from God. And, it doesn't make it a hard thing. Thank God he does a lot of things for us sometimes out of his mercy and his grace. But you know what? That ain't enough. I just can't, you know, because what happens is you get along in life and after a while you're just getting scraps. God does his best. Like the Lord told Kenneth E. Hagin in his vision in 1987, in July 1987, told him, I bless my people as much as I can. And I've often thought about that. Loads of them don't get much of anything. Yet he's trying to bless them as much as he can. I want it to go better than that. Don't you? I want it to go better. I don't want to get to heaven. The Lord said, what is the matter with you, knucklehead? I was trying to bless you and you were just a stupid head. What on earth were you doing? You know, I just sort of felt he was talking like that to me when in March. It was just like, yeah, what is wrong with you? You knew better than that. He said to me, you knew better than that. And I said, you're exactly right. I know. What on earth was I doing? Hallelujah. Well, we miss it, but I know how to get it correct. I know how to get it correct. Repent quick. Don't drag it out where God missed it. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you. You're so good to us, and you are. You're so kind and merciful, and you are doing everything you can to bless us. And I want to thank you, Father, for the things that I'm teaching here. I pray that, Lord God, not just with us here tonight, but Lord God, as people, if they listen to this message, ones who do, Lord God, I pray they grab a hold of the truths, Lord God, so they can walk in a deeper glory than they've ever walked before in their life. I pray, Lord, that they came into an understanding of this faith, hallelujah, in you, Lord God, that brings us to a level and a place, Lord God, where we can grab a hold of things. Lord God, that would just change so many things in this natural realm for people's lives. hallelujah, that you can reveal your glory. And Lord God, not just to us by giving us something, but Lord God, Lord, I want to have a faith that you can reveal your glory through us, to reveal your goodness to the rest of humanity. What a wonderful God you are. Hallelujah. And your plans, Lord God, Lord, men have blamed you for every ugly thing that's happened on this earth, for everything. And Lord God, Lord, I pray that you forgive men for their stupidity and ignorance. Lord, that even the church world has blamed you. Your own people have blamed you for things you never did. And Lord God, things that we brought to pass in our lives. And Lord God, Lord, with your goodness, you didn't want it to go that way sometimes. And Lord God, you wanted things to be turned around and blessed us. But Father God, forgive us. Forgive us for our ignorance, Lord God, of not taking our part and taking a hold of the things, Lord God, these wonderful promises that you put in the book for us so we could walk in your glory. Father God, we want to thank you. Father, we're people of faith, and we're going to grow in faith. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be shipwrecked faith. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you know, we have a sincere faith. We want what's in the Bible. Lord God, Lord, I don't know why men want to try to get off into other things, because, Lord God, I haven't even got all that's in the Bible. And I want to thank you. Hallelujah. I want to stick with your word. And, Lord God, your glory will be revealed in this earth. And, Father God, the whole thing of it is so Jesus Christ can be glorified and magnified, and men and women will be reached for the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.